Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy and precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own, and live under him in his kingdom, and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Tenderly invite us to believe that you are our true Father and that we are your true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask you as dear children ask their dear Father.
Hallowed be thy name.
Your name is holy in itself, but we pray that it may be kept holy among us also. Let your word be taught in its truth and purity, and let us as your children lead holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, dear Father in heaven. But anyone who teaches or lives contrary to your word profanes your name among us. Protect us from this, Heavenly Father.
Thy kingdom come.
Your kingdom comes by its own power without our prayer, but let it come to us also. Give us your Holy Spirit, so that by your grace we believe your holy word and lead godly lives here in time, and hereafter in eternity.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
You do your good and gracious will even without our prayer. But, Father, do your will among us also. Break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow your name or let your kingdom come. Strengthen and keep us firm in your word and faith until we die, because this is your good and gracious will.
Give us this day our daily bread.
You certainly give daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. Lead us to realize this and to receive with thanksgiving our daily bread, including everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, possessions, believing husbands and wives, believing children, believing workers, believing and faithful superiors, good government, good weather, peace, health, self-control, good reputation, good friends, faithful neighbors, and other things like these.
Amen. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
Father in heaven, we pray that you would not look at our sins or deny our prayer because of them. We are neither worthy of the things for which we pray, nor have we deserved them, but we ask that you would give them all to us by grace. For we daily sin much, and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And help us to sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us.
Amen. And lead us not into temptation.
You tempt no one, but we pray that you would guard and protect us, so that the devil, the world, and our own sinful nature will not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Although we are attacked by these things, grant that we may finally overcome them and win the victory.
But deliver us from evil.
Father in heaven, rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed death and take us from this valley of sorrow to yourself in heaven.
For thine is the kingdom and the power.
We are certain that what we have asked pleases you, Father, and that you have heard us, because you yourself have commanded us to pray in this way and have promised to hear us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes,
yes,
yes, it shall be so.
Along with the faith which trusts this word of God in the water.
For without God's word, the water is plain water and no baptism, but with the word of God, it is a baptism, that is a life-giving water, rich in grace, and a washing of the new birth in the Holy Spirit.
St. Paul says in Titus chapter 3, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is the trustworthy saying.
To you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 14th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 9. I will read them now. The Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord, both of the dead and of the living." This is our text. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. And who wouldn't want to be part of something like that? Who wouldn't want to be in a family like that, or in a marriage like that, or in a congregation like that, or in a church body like that, where it's not about me, 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 and what I get out of it, but about us and you and them, and most of all, about him. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? We're so used to our ways. We're so used to worshiping and serving and loving the Trinity of me, myself, and I. Sometimes, even when we're right here listening to his words and sitting in his house and in his presence. Who told us to look out for number one? It wasn't him. Who taught us to believe that if we don't have our own backs, no one will? It wasn't him. Who suggested that time and money and talents are all mine? Mine to use however I want, and then to throw ourselves on the floor and kick and scream to show how much we mean it. It wasn't him. You know who it was. It was that liar, Satan. He lied about God, and he lied about us, and Eve believed it, and Adam believed it, and too often I believe it as well. To my shame. That's why it's hard to imagine anything different. What would it be like to live for something else, much less to die for something else, to be part of something bigger and holier than myself. What would it be like to be tapped into a greater glory and a deeper love? To be tapped into it, I say, even when we're just washing floors and cutting branches and counting offerings and praying for the sick and planning VBS. And what would it be like to believe that there's someone else, someone who doesn't just live and die to himself, but who lives and dies and does what he does for me, for you? Now that would be something. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself, and we wonder what planet St. Paul is on, and who's he kidding, and what would he say if he saw us? Of course, I'd love for that to be true, but I can't seem to get out of my own way. Even the things that I thought were for others, even the things I promised the Lord a year ago and the year before that, even those things seems like I turned into things for me and about me again. Ah, just how coiled are we? Lives to himself and dies to himself. Now that should be on bumper stickers and on t-shirts, because that's how it is. Every man, woman, and child for himself or herself or theirselves or whatever the current pronouns are. But Paul doesn't say here, all of us. He says, none of us. It's amazing. None of us. Like he really believes it. Which is strange because he's writing to Christians who quarrel over opinions and who judge each other about things that should be matters of freedom. What are they thinking? What are Christians thinking when they quarrel and judge one another? It's not for us servants to judge each other. It's before his own master that he stands or falls. And the Lord is able to make him stand, even despite himself. And yet these Christians were divided about food and about holy days and the sorts of things that Christians tend to get worked up about with one another. Is that how the body of Christ lives? But not just Christians in Rome, it's us too. Worked up about our own pet peeves and our hang-ups and idiosyncratic ideas and who said what about whom. Of course, it's possible that my way, or yours, or whomever's might even be better or right in some sense. But that's not the point. The point is that none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. And it may not always appear to be true, but Paul knows that we really are part of something bigger and holier and greater and deeper. How does Paul know? He knows because he'd seen the light and he'd heard the voice and his eyes were opened by one who actually lived for others and died for others and gave himself fully and completely away. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't treat his life as his own. He didn't treat his time as his own. He didn't treat his muscle as his own. He didn't treat his money as his own. He didn't treat his blood as his own. It all belonged to the Father who sent him. It's why he was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. None of it was meant to be hoarded. None of it was meant to be hidden. None of it was meant to be kept for himself. It was his to spend. To spend on sinners, on poor, pitiful sinners, tied up in knots and coiled like pretzels. It was all his. For you, his beloved. For their sake, Jesus prayed,
staring at the cross. For their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified, that they may be made holy in truth. Dear friends, from Jesus' lips to your baptism, don't you know that all of us who've been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ has been raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. From Jesus' lips to your baptism, to the death of your old sinful nature, to your rising with Christ. The beauty of Jesus giving himself to us is that he always has more to give. The Son who was dead is alive again, and the grave couldn't shut off that flood of love and life and grace. Why? Because there's no end to infinity. It can't be exhausted. It never hits bottom. It won't ever be in the red. To be baptized into Christ Jesus is to be baptized into his death and resurrection. And it means that you've already died and started a new life. Praise be to God. A life of which you'll never reach the end, no matter how much of yourself you give, no matter how much you love or serve. You can never be tapped dry, because Jesus will never be tapped dry. A life that you can afford to pour out, because it just keeps getting refilled over and over and over again. So give what you've received. Love as you've been loved. And then come back for more. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. What else would you live for but him? Amen. What else would you die for but him? And to do it for him means to do it for these brothers and sisters and the least of them. So today, we offer ourselves to him again. And we offer ourselves to one another again, not because we're so great, but because he's so great. And his love is so deep. That's what we mean when we say, O Lord, my strength, I love you. Not yet as well as I want, but I love you. Not nearly as much as I will, but yes, Lord, you know that I love you. So you're alive with Christ's life. We are the Lord's. St. Paul doesn't say this with a sarcasm font. He doesn't add a question mark. He doesn't state it in an ironic way. He says it like it's the gospel truth, because it is. Like we belong to Jesus and he'll take us as we are, but he won't leave us that way. Like the Lord loves us all the way down and loves to see what we do with our lives and our time and our muscle and our money and our blood. He loves the good that he does through us for others. He loves how we serve and love one another and in this house. And he loves it because we're his beloved in Christ. So leave behind what lies in the past. The failures of last year, the year before, of yesterday. Leave it behind. Put your hand to the plow now and don't look back. You don't need to see what's back there, what's perishing. Turning into a pillar of salt won't do anyone any good. Offer yourself in love to the Lord and to your brothers and sisters. Consecrate your body, your life, your time, your money, and your muscles to his purposes, or better yet, let him consecrate you and all of that for his purposes. And when you look around in the congregation at one another, hold your judgment. Think of others more highly than you think of yourself. Watch what you say and how you speak. And ask questions like, who can I call or visit? What needs doing here at church? Whose day might need to be brightened? Remember what the Holy Spirit says. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And also, you're all sons of God through faith. You put on Christ. You're all one in Christ. No longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You live for the will of God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Whether we are awake or asleep, we live with him. All live to him. You are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And how many more ways do you need him to say it? And what are you waiting for? Who, me, Lord? Yes, he says. Yes, you. For you are mine. And all you have is mine. And that's true whether you live or whether you die. So why not see what I can do through you? What have you got to lose? Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living and of you. To which we say, Amen. Amen. Yes, I believe. Please stand. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with the confession and office of the keys from the Small Catechism. Confession has two parts. First, that we confess our sins. And second, that we receive absolution. That is forgiveness from the pastor, as from God himself. Not doubting, but firmly believing that by it our sins are forgiven before God in heaven. The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. From these words, I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ our dear Lord dealt with us himself. You have seen me, O God, and my ways were not hidden from you.
All I have done was plain in your sight.
When I rested in sin and not in your word, when I left it to others to work for the spread of your word, when I judged the way others served you, when I worked for you as though it were a burden,
forgive me.
When I held back time, using it not as your gift, but selfishly. When I held back money, spending it not as your gift, but as my possession. When I held back your gospel to myself and neglected the lost ones you love.
Forgive me.
When I did not learn your word. When I held back my trust from your word and believed this world instead.
Forgive me.
For Jesus' sake, because he has done what I should have done, and has paid what I should have paid,
And because he is praying for me now, open my mind to your word and fill me with your spirit and your love, and so that I can offer myself to you without shame, serve you gladly, and be consecrated to your holy word with everything I am and have. In the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And will you also forgive your sinful pastor all my sins against you? Then answer, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive you.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Call on the name of the sacrifice and office trusted to you by our Lord Jesus Christ, so that you fulfill them as a devout and zealous servant of the Church. As Christ's ambassador, you are and preach the pure doctrine of God's word. You are to administer the holy sacraments as Christ. Then instruct young and old in the way of salvation. Counsel inquirers, strengthen the weak. Seek the lost. Reclaim those who fall into error. Comfort sorrowing. Care for the poor. Visit the sick. Serve the dying. And pray constantly for the spiritual welfare every soul under your care. You are to devote yourself to the study of the Holy Scripture and the confessions so that you carry out your office according to God's word, and so that you and your family be patterns for others of faith and godliness. The Apostle Paul says, preach the word, always be ready, correct and rebuke and encourage deep patience, careful instruction. Keep calm in all situations. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. And set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, and in purity. Watch your life with hand teaching closely. Persevere in life, because as you do, you will save yourself and those who hear you. I ask you, dear brother, in the presence of God and before this congregation, will you continue to bear the charge of this congregation and perform faithfully all the duties of your office? Then answer, yes, with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
Will you continue to preach and teach God's pure word in accordance with the confessions of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and adorn our Savior's teaching with a reverent and holy life? And answer, I will, the Lord helping me through the power and grace of his Spirit.
I will, the Lord helping me with the power and grace of his Spirit.
Dearly beloved, you have heard again the solemn promises given to you by your called pastor. I admonish you and charge you to remember always what God's word demands of you as members of his flock. faithfully attend his preaching of the word and accept it, not as human words, but as the word of God, which it actually is. Pay attention when he warns you, and humbly accept the implanted word that can save your soul. Help him teach the young, since you are commanded to bring up your children in the Lord. Provide knowledge for his and his family's earthly needs. Honor him and love him, as St. Paul says. Respect those who work among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love. Pray for him constantly, that God would give him a cheerful spirit in his labors and anxieties, and that the Lord may bless richly his service among you. Finally, remember the words of the Holy Ghost. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be the joy and not a burden. I ask you now, in the presence of God, will you continue to receive your pastor as a servant of God and give him the love, honor, and proper obedience that are due a shepherd and guide placed over you by the Lord Jesus Christ? And answer, I will.
I will.
Eternal Father of mercy, we praise you for building us on earth your holy church, through which you call sinners to yourself until the end of time. Having sent this worker into the harvest field, have mercy on him and give him the gifts he needs to fulfill his sacred office faithfully and fruitfully. Do not allow him to cause others to stumble by his own shortcomings. Protect him from gossip and slander and from anything else that would hurt his service. Support him with your Holy Spirit, and that when his work is finally done, let him enter your joy. And we pray, too, for this flock and each believer in it. Never leave us, keep your altar among us, and keep alive on it your holy fire. Keep your holy word, holy baptism, holy absolution, and holy communion here in purity and truth, so that by your power we may be made holy for you and our spirits, souls, and bodies, and be kept blameless for the coming of Jesus Christ, your Son, as he loved us and called us to be his disciples. So help us to love one another, that through us the word would know him and you. Amen.
People loved by God, our weakness is great, but our Lord and Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. Since he has called you, saying, "Come, follow me, forget what is past and press forward to what lies ahead," lift up your hearts and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you believe that God declares you righteous solely and alone because of the obedience and suffering of Jesus Christ in your place without any merit? Then answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that all the books of Holy Scripture are the true and inspired Word of God, and that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from Holy Scripture is the true and unchanged teaching of God's Word? Then answer, I do.
I do.
Will you continue to hear the Word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Will you submit every part of your life to be ruled by that Word? Will you remain faithful to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and suffer all things, even death, rather than part from him? Then answer, I will, by the grace of God.
I will, by the grace of God.
God strengthen you with his grace, so that others may see your good works, your love for one another, and your mercy for all, and glorify him. that through you other beloved sinners may kneel with us to receive grace and life in Jesus Christ until you go to him or he comes again for you. Amen.
Amen.
Now, O Father, hear us as we pray for all who in love for each other serve here, for those who serve in music and the arts, for all who tend your altar, for those who maintain, clean, and care for your house, for those who teach your little children and older children, for those who serve as liturgists, acolytes, hosts, and tellers, for those who serve in the kitchen, in fellowship, and in the office, for all who serve you and those who are sick, aged, or alone, for all who give, pray, and work in your service, give them strength and grace from heaven. Give them joy through your holy gospel. Consecrate and make holy in Jesus Christ all their work in love and trust toward you. Let your beauty, O Lord our God, be seen on them and on all of us who today offer ourselves, our possessions, and our lives to you. For we are your people, justified by grace alone, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we offer before you our common supplications for the well-being of your church throughout the world. So guide and govern your holy church by your Holy Spirit, especially the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod as she gathers in convention, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon the congregations committed to their care the healthful spirit of your grace, that they may please you in all things. Bless the teaching of your word in our vacation Bible school and sustain all who help and attend, that our children may love what is just and true and good, and most of all, love and follow Jesus throughout their lives. Behold in mercy all who are in authority over us. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Preserve us from flooding, and look with mercy upon those who have suffered loss or hardship. We humbly ask your abiding presence in every situation, that you would make known your ways among us. Preserve those who travel, satisfy the wants of your creatures, and help those who call upon you in any need, especially Betty, Tommy, Sharon, Jared, Brian, Pepper, Rob, Rosemarie, Nancy, Eldon, Aaron Kate, Ed, Linda, Michelle, Stan, Luann, and Amanda. Grant patience in the midst of suffering, and according to your will, release them from their afflictions. Through Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." This is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and to drink.
These words given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness.
Our psalm today is Psalm 119, starting at the 57th verse. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I hasten to do not delay, but keep your commandments. Though the cords of wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise and praise you because of your just and righteous decrees. I am a companion for all who fear you, for those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your steadfast love. Teach me your statutes. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this healing gift, and we ask that of your mercy you would strengthen us through this sacrament in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Go forth in love. Make disciples of our Lord Jesus until you go to him or he comes for you. The blessing of the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.
Amen.